season. For a team with astronomically high expectations, the same expectations that the Tampa Bay Lightning, Washington Capitals, St. Louis Blues, and Boston Bruins had going into the season, for a team that believes they have the roster and the strategy to win the Stanley Cup, it has been a trying season in Toronto. They were forced to fire their once beloved head coach Mike Babcock. Their GM Kyle Dubas has faced constant scrutiny for moves in the offseason that offloaded grit and tenacity in favor of more skill and more offensive prowess. And the injury bug has been relentless. Morgan Riley, Cody Ceci, and Andreas Janssen out right now during a push for the playoffs. But last night was something different. Last night was a completely different kind of low for the Toronto Maple Leafs, a low that still seems impossible, even though we all watched it unfold on Saturday. To sum it up, the Toronto Maple Leafs were facing a Carolina Hurricanes squad that was on the second half of a back-to-back. They had lost to the Rangers on Friday. The Hurricanes got out to a 3-1 lead, and by the halfway mark of the game, they had lost both of their goalies to injury. So in comes emergency goalie and 42-year-old Zamboni driver David Ayers. The Leafs end up mustering 10 shots on Ayers in the final 28 minutes of the game, get outshot 47-26, lose 6-3, and turn in one of the most embarrassing performances in franchise history. Joining us now to break it all down, my good friend and the best Leafs expert I know, Alec Brownscombe of Maple Leafs Hot Stove, is on the line. Alec, let's save the pleasantries because I've already taken up too much airtime with my intro, and, you know, I'm happy to have you on. So take us back to that moment David Ayers touches the ice and it all becomes real. The Leafs are down 3-1 in a critical game, and they're about to face an emergency goalie. What went through your mind watching last night?
So at first you're sort of thinking that this team got left off the hook kind of big time. Like, they were terrible for 30 minutes until Kyle Clifford ran into Mrazek. And then the Canes sort of score on that power play when Ayers goes in to make it 4-1, and they give him a little bit more cushion. And by the way, before we continue with this, like, a lot of credit deserves to go out to the Canes last night for what they did, for how they played in front of Ayers, how they treated the guy, how they celebrated him with him after. It was storybook stuff, and it was pure class from them the whole way through. But, you know, at 4-1, Tavares kind of curls out of the corner, and he basically tucks like a nondescript shot through the guy's legs because he can't get down to the ice in time. And then Engvall, shortly thereafter, I don't know if it was a minute later, scores on a rebound, and it's 4-3, and you're starting to think, okay, this is extremely, extremely fortunate for the Leafs, but they're probably going to win this game 10-4. I mean, I think Kelly Rudy said at the intermission it was going to be 12-4 by the end of the game. And then the Leafs just never scored again. Like, they came out for the third period, and I can't even describe what I watched. Like, the pressure of how badly they should win that game at that point turned them to a man into quivering fools on the ice. Like, they collapsed psychologically. It was a total breakdown of team structure. As individuals, they couldn't pass. They could hardly skate. I guess the moment I knew was when it was 5-3 Carolina. I knew they were actually about to lose the game to their own Zamboni driver.
And what is it about this team, Alec, that whenever something happens, and for me, when you saw the 6-3 goal, Austin Matthews and everybody's kind of just like, oh, right, or like their eyes are rolling. They just look like, it's like, okay, yeah, the game's over now. We're down by three. It's over. Even though they just scored two to make this a game on this Zamboni driver, but they just literally rolled over after that sixth goal by Carolina and never came back at all.
And yeah, I mean, I would like to say that there haven't been signs before this point that this team has, you know, there's something a little bit missing in its constitution, but you know, you go back to when they basically played a string in which they got Babcock fired, and they had a game in Pittsburgh with Kasimir Kaskisuo making an NHL debut in net, and their effort was equally as bad. Like, they totally gave up on a guy who was making his debut in really tough circumstances, and the juxtaposition against what Carolina did last night. Now, that wasn't an actual NHL goaltender in the net, but compared to how the Leafs played in front of their rookie, if you want to call it that, back in Pittsburgh, and how they just seemed to so easily let that game get away and leave a guy in there to get totally shelled. And then compare that to how Carolina responded last night. They defended like their lives depended on it. Every puck was contested ferociously. They blocked a ton of shots. They gave up nothing. Like, they continued to press, and they got even more of a cushion for him to play with. And it's an amazing story that they even made it possible. But for the Leafs now, you're thinking this is now an inflection point. If it wasn't, you know, if the earlier loss this week to Pittsburgh wasn't rock bottom, if that loss that got Babcock fired wasn't rock bottom, this obviously is. And, you know, do you at this point hit the ground and roll over, or do you bounce back up? And just how hard is it going to be to earn that confidence and that self-belief back now to sort of deal with setbacks and know it's not the end of the world with all the goodwill now basically burned up among the fan base and the media? Like, I'm not sure where the team is going to be at psychologically now. Like, they already, by Sheldon Keefe's own description, this isn't me editorializing, they already seem fragile, and they were multiple times called an immature team already by their coach.
Last night, you bring up Sheldon Keefe. He mentioned that this wasn't effort-based, and I read your recap last night on MLHS, and you clearly disagree with that, and as do I. I mean, there was a moment last night in which he's giving it to the team in a TV timeout, and Austin Matthews, amongst the top players on that team, looks like he's completely checked out. He's looking up at the Jumbotron. Keefe's losing it, and it looks like all the players just don't have a care in the world. Now, that is body language, and that's not actually play on the ice, but that third period was completely something else. And we contrast this with the Game 7 losses and the playoff droughts of the 2000s and you know, Sens fans yelling at Leafs fans 1967 and all these embarrassing factors. But contrast that with this, because this is a regular season game. They're still in a playoff spot. But is this the most embarrassing moment in the past two decades? Obviously, the playoff losses mean more, but this is just different.
It is different is a word for it. I guess there's two things if you were to chart it. There's embarrassing, and then there's the importance of the game. And in terms of embarrassment, this one tops the charts by a mile. I guess it doesn't score very highly in terms of the importance of the game. But I spent most of the third period, once I knew, you know, what was going to happen, thinking about that 2013 Game 7, that it was 4-1 game, and whether or not that was actually worse. And, you know, it was unspeakable, and I remember every excruciating detail about it. But this was different. Like, that team at that time was a totally upstart group of players that was never supposed to be in that series in the first place. They were 11 minutes away from advancing after a very well-played sort of first 50 or whatever minutes it was to that game. You know, I also contemplated some of those 18-wheeler teams under Ron Wilson and Randy Carlyle that had, you know, a ton of brutally inept showings among those kind of season derailing losing streaks that they went through. But I don't think any will stand out in the collective memory of Leafs fans quite like this one. Like, this is a team with, we thought, legitimate contention aspirations. And it has now been embarrassed three times this week, culminating in a loss to a team that had your Zamboni driver sort of rent a goalie in the other team's net. Like, it's tragic comedy.
He literally works for MLSC. It's just cherry on top.
He's going to be there at practice.
Yeah, exactly. You wrote last night.
I guess if you're interested, though, Callum, in like silver linings, it is a regular season game. Like, the Leafs are still in the playoff spot today because Florida also seems like they're going to try to back in to the playoffs. So where this event fits in the kind of the team's narrative arc really remains to be seen. Like, this sounds totally laughable, and I know it does. Is this their St. Louis style bottoming out before they start to come together? It seems kind of laughable now, but I don't know. I have no idea which way this plays out now.
I think it's crazy how you say too, because you stopped watching in the third period. Just everybody, you get that feel like, yeah, it's over before the game's even close to over, but just how well, hockey fans, Leaf fans, just know this team. Like, there's no pushback. And I think that's the crazy thing heading into tomorrow in the trade deadline, because the Leafs have been rumored with so many different things, and you've got to wonder if Kyle Dubas is going to pull the trigger as a desperate move by tomorrow and make an emotional or a rash decision, or is he just going to stand pat and let these guys get out of it? Because there's only so much left you could do to this team before they fired their coach. They've made some trades. They've made moves. They've brought new guys in. They brought guys up from the Marlies. They've dealt with injuries. But what's left to really do here for this team other than just dig themselves out of this little hole?
I think you're exactly right, Steve. Like it's terrible for Dubas's position right now. Like as you said, he used up the coaching change bullet. Rival GMs are going to throw you anvils, not life rafts at this point. This is a GM in a low leverage situation if he's trying to do anything drastic, and I don't anticipate he will. I think you can do maybe a little bit of both buying and selling if you're Dubas and probably justify that to the team and the ownership and the fan base. I would have a lot of respect for him if he said, you know, kind of screw the optics of this and move Barry out of this situation, despite it kind of being an admission of failure on his offseason trade. Because, you know, what needs to be fixed with Barry is not getting fixed before the end of the season, and he's going to walk as a UFA anyway. So to me, if I was him, I would bring in someone who is an NHL defenseman that can kind of just help fill out that roster spot. It doesn't have to be the biggest name on the market you go and fetch, but you can try to kind of replace a little bit of what you lost in terms of a first-round pick in the Marlowe deal. Ideally, I think everyone would love to see him kind of take the assets in a Barry trade and flip it for another right-handed defenseman with term, but I don't see that happening in the time constraints. And if they were close at all to that, I don't think they would have risked Tyson Barry getting injured, which he almost did last night. I just think you have to be realistic about how inconsistent the team is. It's going to be tough to win this way in the playoffs, and arguably more than anything, you have to consider how tough the path is, and you have to be realistic about it. Like, Boston and Tampa Bay are the two best teams in the league. It's not me editorializing that they're the best two by a solid margin in the standings. I think it's an opportunity to think about the long-term well-being first, and also just kind of, as you said, Steve, put it on this team to show what it's made of and what resolve it actually has down the stretch now that it really has hit officially rock bottom.
You wrote last night in your recap on MLHS, quote, that this is all unfolding in the final game before the trade deadline, it has to serve as a flashing neon sign screaming at Kyle Dubas to act in the best long-term interest of the franchise, rather than flailing in desperation to save a season that is starting to feel like one long waking nightmare. So I know we just talked about trade deadline, but tell me if this is a crazy question with regards to the future of this team. Is it a good thing for the franchise and the future of the Toronto Maple Leafs if they end up squeaking into the playoffs this year, or do they need a major wake-up call with missing the postseason? Like, which is better?
Well, they don't have a first-round pick, so I would go ahead and say it's making the playoffs is better, but I don't think they're going to have anyone fooled if they just walk in and lose to Boston again or Tampa again. Does that portend for like a true core roster shakeup? I mean, large contracts aside, you know, they're all supreme talents and they're eminently tradable if they ever did want to shake it up among kind of that big four. I just kind of view it, and I imagine Kyle Dubas does too, kind of through the lens of how long it took Washington and Tampa Bay to figure it out. Like, I want them to be realistic about the season at this point, but I still don't view this as there is no way Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, Riley, Anderson could ever be a part of a winning core. Like, I don't view it as that's impossible. I view it as this team is not ready today, and they need to be better supported by experience, by more veteran leaders among their top nine forward group, by players who set the tone in terms of work ethic. They need better depth beyond their core four or five up front. They certainly need more help on defense. And for Kyle Dubas, frankly, to maybe admit that he needs to work towards a more diverse makeup for a team that has nowhere near enough the kind of jam it's going to need to be able to win in a variety of ways in the postseason. So it's in the big picture, it's a really interesting sort of experiment. You have to remember that like this whole thing with giving out max dollar out of entry-level stuff, it's new. The Leafs are one of the first test cases in one of the craziest hockey markets. Well, the craziest hockey market in the world. They've given out $40 million to just four forwards. You know, it's Dubas's entire thesis will be questioned heavily if this does not turn around. Like the decision by Brendan Shanahan to go with a rookie GM and a rookie coach in charge of a very young core of very handsomely paid star players will be questioned very heavily as well. And I'm not there yet at all on saying it can't work. But between the injuries, which are a real factor here for sure, the absolute just mess of a year it's been with the coaching turmoil and the devastating blowout losses recently. I think Dubas has to keep it real here and just do what's right for next season and beyond.
Good stuff, man. Thank you so much for joining us here, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and keep your head up. The Leafs may be a tire fire, but in 2 weeks we'll be in Myrtle Beach making fools of ourselves on gorgeous golf courses.
Yeah, I don't usually think about my golf game when I'm trying to alleviate frustration, but yeah, that'll be great. See you then.
All right, thanks, pal. Coming up, well, taking your reaction at 12-1200, texting in, and also tweet us at TSN 1200, at Callum Fraser 18, and